DiscerningHearts.com, in cooperation with the Oblates of the Virgin Mary, presents Spiritual Desolation. Be aware, understand, take action with Father Timothy Gallagher. Father Gallagher is a member of the Oblates of the Virgin Mary, a religious community dedicated to retreats and spiritual formation according to the spiritual exercises of St. Ignatius of Loyola. He is featured on several series found on the Eternal Word television network. He is also author of numerous books on the spiritual teachings of St. Ignatius of Loyola and the Venerable Bruno Lanteri, founder of the Oblates of the Virgin Mary, all published by the Crossroads Publishing Company. This particular series is based in part on Chapter 4 of Setting Captives Free, Personal Reflections on Ignatian Discernment of Spirits. Spiritual Desolation. Be aware, understand, take action with Father Timothy Gallagher. I'm your host, Chris McGregor. Welcome, Father Gallagher.
Thank you, Chris. Always great to be here.
Even if we're discussing desolation?
Well, as I said earlier, we're discussing freedom from spiritual desolation. So if we are, yes, we are discussing spiritual desolation, but only because there is a path to freedom from it. So I think what we need to do now is just refresh our awareness of the content of this rule, and then we'll move into the new material that I look at in the book, Setting Captives Free. So let's reread the text of the rule and then just refresh its elements. We did this in more detail in our earlier set of conversations.
Fourth rule. The fourth is of spiritual desolation. I call desolation all the contrary of the third rule, such as darkness of soul, disturbance in it, movement to low and earthly things, disquiet from various agitations and temptations, moving to lack of confidence, without hope, without love, finding oneself totally slothful, tepid, sad, and as if separated from one's Creator, the Lord. For just as consolation is contrary to desolation, in the same way the thoughts that come from consolation are contrary to the thoughts that come from desolation.
So Ignatius says the fourth rule, the fourth is of spiritual desolation. And let's note those two words, because both are important. Desolation preceded by the adjective spiritual. Desolation, like consolation, is a heart-level word. So if we speak of head, which is the more thoughts and thinking and ideas, to use the formal word, it's the cognitive level. And heart, feelings, emotions, affective stirrings, so to speak, in formal language, the affective dimension of our being. Desolation and consolation are both affective words. They describe movements of the heart. Consolation is an upward, happy, joyful movement of the heart. Desolation is a heavy, sad, discouraging, disheartening movement of the heart. And then the word desolation is preceded by the adjective spiritual. So Ignatius is speaking of a heaviness of heart on the level of faith, on the level of our relationship with God, on the level of living the spiritual life, like the man at 10 o'clock or the woman at 3 o'clock alone in the kitchen. To complete this, if there is spiritual desolation, there is also non-spiritual desolation. Non-spiritual could be, we could equally speak of natural desolation or human or emotional or psychological, any of those terms. It's just a heaviness of heart on the natural level as we live our lives. And non-spiritual desolation can derive from a depletion of either emotional or physical energy or both. So here is a woman, things are going well in her day at work, and then a fellow worker makes a negative comment about a project that she's worked on, and a little film of grayness comes into her heart, a little bit of heaviness, a little depressing to hear that, and fills her day. She is experiencing non-spiritual desolation deriving from a depletion of emotional energy. All of the discussion in our culture today about depression in terms of discernment is a discussion of non-spiritual desolation. And here is a man who is working hard at a project, staying up late night after night, rising early in the morning, and after a few weeks, a heaviness comes into his life. he is experiencing a non-spiritual desolation deriving from a depletion of physical energy. Now, Ignatius explicitly lets us know that what he's speaking about here, because everything in these rules about discernment of spirits is on the level of the spiritual life, that he is explicitly speaking about spiritual desolation, not non-spiritual desolation. But that does not mean that non-spiritual desolation has no significance regarding what happens in our spiritual life. Now, a certain amount of non-spiritual desolation is normal in a well-lived vocation. I would say even holy in some cases. So the mother whose young child is ill and is up night after night for several days, she gets pretty tired. But there's something, I would say, holy about that tiredness, because it's embraced out of love for her child and the living of her vocation as mother. Now, she's going to need healthy ways to recover that energy. Or in a different vocation, the priest who guides his parish through Holy Week, or maybe the priest who is called out early in the morning to the hospital. And again, there's some tiredness, but there's something, again, holy about that tiredness, because it's embraced out of fidelity and love for the vocation of serving God's people. Again, the priest is also going to need ways to recover that energy. So a certain amount of non-spiritual desolation is normal in a well-lived life. But if there is too much of it, if a person finds him or herself saying, I'm always feeling somewhat depressed, I'm always feeling worn out and tired, then not only as stewards, good stewards of our humanity, which we're called to be by the Lord, but for the sake of our spiritual lives, we need to do something about that. Many problems in the spiritual life that we consider spiritual and eventually will become spiritual if they're not addressed, cease, resolve, when we pay wise attention to the needs of our humanity on the non-spiritual level. I probably used this example last time, but I'll use it again. Probably most of us listening have our daily routine of prayer, and we've embraced it because we know it's helpful. We love it. We try to be faithful to it. We experience its fruits. And then a day comes when we just feel like, today, I just can't do it. I just can't do it today. And there's the remote control or the smartphone or the daily paper or something else that just seems, you know, attracts us more. You know what often helps me at such times is to get exercise. Go out and get some healthy exercise, and then I'm all set to pray. Because the problem in the instance I'm describing never was that I didn't want to pray. I do want to pray. The problem was that I had not paid wise attention to a need of my humanity on the non-spiritual level. So if we can do this, if we can reverence the body and pay wise attention to our needs on that level, then many things get easier in the spiritual life. I came across a lovely quote from St. Teresa of Avila from her life, in which she's speaking about prayer. And she says, take care then of the body. Now look at the reason for this. Take care then of the body. So that's the counsel. Take care of the body. It's tiredness, its needs for nourishment, for appropriate relaxation, interactions with others, on the heart level, the emotional level as well. Take care then of the body for the love of God. We can take care of the body for many reasons, wanting to appear in a certain way before others or needs of work, whatever it might be. But this is the reason St. Teresa has in mind here. Take care then of the body for the love of God, because at many times the body must serve the soul. If we're tired and emotionally worn down, and that's become kind of chronic and we're not addressing that, it'll be hard to pray. It'll be hard to take new steps in the spiritual life. So even before we get to the spiritual level, let's just note that on the natural, physical, psychological, emotional level, we can do much to make things go much easier in the spiritual life. And the reason for this is that the enemy willingly works in our vulnerabilities. So where there is a non-spiritual vulnerability, where I'm just worn out, that's chronic, I'm just feeling maybe a little depressed, and that's been going on for a while. That's where the enemy is going to try now to bring the further trap of spiritual desolation, feeling far from God, having no energy for the spiritual life, considering just pulling back from that initiative in the group in the parish and all the other things that we do to help us grow spiritually. So Ignatius, having said that, Ignatius is speaking about specifically spiritual desolation. Now, this distinction between spiritual and non-spiritual, whether in consolation or in desolation, we need to have a proper balance with this. And the balance is between two poles. The distinction is important, and it needs to be made. Because if we don't make it, what we might do is not see clearly the appropriate remedy for the heaviness that a person is experiencing. To give a very evident case, here is a man or woman who has been through something very traumatic in life. And there's a heaviness, there's a burden as he or she goes through the days. If they can recognize the non-spiritual need there and address it, maybe some counseling now would be very helpful with a wise and good counselor, certainly one who is Christian or at least respects our Christianity. That could be enormously helpful. There may be medical means also that can help. So to recognize a non-spiritual desolation and apply wisely the healthy non-spiritual remedies brings about great, great good for us, not only in living our daily lives, but also for the spiritual life. And the same can be true on less dramatic levels. You know, here is somebody who in this situation just finds himself or herself getting easily depressed. Okay. Let's look at that. This is a natural human thing. How do we address this? Can the relationship, if it's that's what's causing it, be lived with newness in some way and so forth? And then spiritual desolation, specifically spiritual desolation, will need spiritual remedies. And that's what Ignatius is doing in this set of rules.
Are you suggesting then, Father Gallagher, that if you're aware that you're off, you've identified you're in some type of desolation, you haven't yet discerned whether it's the non-spiritual or the spiritual, that the remedy to begin with might be to have a checkup or to look at the food you're eating or to see what you're, I mean, take a look at that, your body first, because, I mean, in reality, that's always changing. You know, as we grow older, what I felt like when I was 27 is not the same that I would feel at 47. And things happen. So we need to address those first, potentially.
Yes, that's a very nice application of this principle of paying wise attention to the non-spiritual dimension of our humanity, physically and emotionally. We are blessed in our time to have a saint, St. John Paul II, who gave us that extensive theology of the body. Now, just the title itself is deeply instructive. The body is not something to be demeaned or simply endured. But here is a saint writing a theology, that is, an exploration of truths of faith and revelation, which is what theology is, penetrating to a deeper understanding of what God wants us to know about a reality, and doing all of that with the body. Body is pretty important, you know. Mm-hmm. We wouldn't get very far without it in life. And so, yes, to pay wise attention. And if we can do it, obviously, you know, regular checkups, attention to things, diet, sleep, appropriate relaxation, all of those things, as we're saying, does a great deal for the spiritual life. More basically, it can apply this to the fifth commandment that we're called to be good stewards of the humanity that God has given us. But then the dividends in the spiritual life are very rich, as we've just seen Teresa of Avila say.
There can be also those aspects, the human person.
We'll return to Spiritual Desolation, Be Aware, Understand, Take Action with Father Timothy Gallagher in just a moment.
Did you know that you can obtain a free app which contains all your favorite Discerning Hearts programs?
Father Timothy Gallagher, Dr. Anthony Lillis, Archbishop George Lucas, Father Mauritius Fildi, and so many more, including episodes from Inside the Pages, can be obtained on the Discerning Hearts free app. This also includes all the novenas and devotionals and prayers, including the Holy Rosary and Stations of the Cross, the Chaplet of St. Michael, and the Seven Sorrows of Our Lady, all available on the Discerning Hearts free app. Visit the iTunes and Google Play app stores to obtain your free Discerning Hearts app today. The Councils of Mercy, an excerpt from the writings of Venerable Bruno Lanteri, founder of the Oblates of the Virgin Mary.
If I should fall 1,000 times a day, 1,000 times a day I will begin again with new awareness of my weakness, promising God with a peaceful heart to amend my life. I will never think of God as if he were of our condition and grows weary of our wavering weakness and negligence. Rather, I will think of what is truly characteristic of him and what he prizes most highly, that is, his goodness and mercy, knowing that he is a loving Father who understands our weakness, is patient with us, and forgives us.
For more excerpts from the writings of Venerable Bruno Lanteri, visit discerninghearts.com.
Hello, my name is Deacon Omar Gutierrez, and I want to ask you to support Discerning Hearts in a special way. We, Chris McGregor, the board, and I all know that not everyone listening can help financially. We know we have listeners from all parts of the world, and we have made a commitment since the beginning to make the truths shared through Discerning Hearts totally free. So while you may not be able to contribute financially, what you can do is certainly pray, but also give us positive reviews on whatever platform you use to listen to us. If it's iTunes, Android, Stitcher, Spotify, however it is that you get these podcasts, or if you're on YouTube and you like our videos, please give us a good rating and write a review. The more good ratings and reviews we get, the higher our profile, and the more listeners will discover us, listeners who may have the means to contribute in the future. Please consider rating us and writing a positive review today.
We now return to Spiritual Desolation. Be aware, understand, take action, with Father Timothy Gallagher.
The anthropology of the human person for generation upon generation was dictated by the rhythm of the seasons, of the sunlight, and getting enough sleep when the sun is out, and or getting enough sleep when the sun is down, and waking, and the rhythm of a natural day has been changed dramatically in the last 100, 150 years. Now we have lights. I know it's something that we might laugh at, but to realize that we can stay up so much longer than would ever been dreamt by generations ago, and filling our minds constantly with things coming through the television, through different devices, through the computer, all of that is not necessarily spiritual desolation, but a non-spiritual desolation. That if can we cut those things out first, could that be affecting us in some way?
You know, this lovely book by Ian Matthews on St. John of the Cross, The Impact of God. In that book, he highlights over and over again the fundamental thing that St. John of the Cross is doing in his writings, and he summarizes it this way: make space for God. And that's the whole teaching of John of the Cross, this incredibly, amazingly rich teaching. That's where the dark nights and the purification, it's all about that, is making space for God. And that's all the more important in a world now that fills what used to be empty spaces, you know, so much with screens and earbuds and the rapid pace of life. So, yes, I think that, again, is the call to find ways to slow down and to notice and be aware. I think St. John Paul II is a wonderful witness in this too. He was a living theology of the body. I used to love to watch him when I had chances to actually be with him, and certainly very much through the televising of his events. It's instructive to watch how he lived in his body with such naturalness and the care that he took of it. This busy priest in Poland going off on these kayaking trips with the students, even as Pope, you know, putting the swimming pool in the Vatican, skiing, or we all have images of him hiking up in the Dolomites, these mountains up in northern Italy, in his vacation every summer. Where did this man get the energy, incredible energy, to do these exhausting trips when the journalists couldn't keep up with him? And he was, it's because he so respected the body, and I'd say to apply Teresa of Avila's words, he took care of it for the love of God, and then out of that had the energy to do this. So I don't want to, none of this says, we're not speaking of becoming hypochondriacs or so engaged in the body that we can never see beyond it, or anxious about, you know, every little ache or pain that arises. We don't mean that. It's just a prudent, which means finding the right means to take prudent, wise care of the body. And I'd say our emotional health as well. And if we do that, yes, then all the rest of this gets easier. And in our culture today, it's a mixture. It's, again, the best of times, the worst of times. We have things that make health harder for us, the pace of life and the bombardment. But we also have means to for health that were never there ever in history before. Things that, you know, that simply had to be lived with at one time. So many of them now there are remedies for, surgically or through medications or the various therapies and so on that medicine supplies, to say nothing of help on the emotional level, you know, with good solid counseling. So it's finding our way through all of that in a way that leads to a solid conservation, maintenance, those, not sure those are the best words, but a solid maintaining of our health in a way then that permits us to live the spiritual life. Now, that's the other pole of what I wanted to say. We need a balance. We need the distinction between the non-spiritual and the spiritual, because each needs to be dealt with in its own way. But we don't want to overstress that distinction, because finally, there's just one human person. Our emotions are and our bodies are involved in prayer and our relationship with God, and our spiritual life flows through our emotions and our bodies. There's only one human person. So we don't need to overstress it either. Specifically, as he indicates, on the level of spiritual desolation. So he says, I call desolation, and we always understand the adjective spiritual, all the contrary of the third rule, which is about spiritual consolation. And so basically what he's going to do in this rule is just say, well, all right, we've seen the description of spiritual consolation. Now we're just going to see its exact contrary, which is what he does. And he gives a series of experiences, such as darkness of soul. We go through our daily life and work or at home, and there's something weighing on us in our prayer, in our relationship, with a sense something's not right, but there's no light. We can't see clearly what's going on here. And there's a certain burden and a sense that things aren't going well and are not going to go well as we go forward. These would be experiences of spiritual desolation. Disturbance in the soul. Let's say the woman does begin the prayer and loves it and finds wonderful things gradually beginning to happen. Her faith is coming more alive. Her attendance at Mass now means more to her. She finds herself thinking, like some of her friends, of going to daily Mass when she can do it and begins doing that. Let's say there's a woman's breakfast group in the parish that she is now considering joining. And as she's growing spiritually, she finds herself having more peace and patience at work, at home, as she relates to her husband or her children. Something warm and new is coming into the family. Maybe her husband and children and fellow workers can't articulate it, but they feel it. They know something rich, and there's joy in her heart. And then at a certain point, a little film of anxiety starts to get into this. And something of the peace is troubled as she tries to pray or to walk this journey, spiritual journey, disturbance in the soul. So she's experiencing spiritual desolation. Movement to low and earthly things. Ignatius tells us in Rule 3 that in the joy of spiritual consolation, there's an upward call and attraction toward what he calls heavenly things. Prayer, the sacraments, spiritual reading, being part of the group that shares about their faith, living our faith more deeply in our vocation. Exactly the opposite will happen in spiritual desolation. Now the pull will be toward what Ignatius calls low and earthly things. And I said some of this in our preceding series, but I'll just exemplify it again, if I may reverently say this. These are the times when we head to the refrigerator for the third time, or go on Facebook again, when we're not even really interested and just scroll down through things that, you know, in the heaviness of heart, or put in the earbuds again, or sit in front of the screen, whether the television, the computer, the tablet, phone. Now, there's a good use of all of these things, obviously, but we all know what Ignatius is talking about. It's a flight from the heaviness of desolation and a pull toward things that are, in this sense, low and earthly, that not only are they not going to help us resist the desolation, but they're probably going to weaken that resistance and maybe even increase it a bit.
Is there a degree, Father Gallagher, to what this movement can be like? I mean, can it be a slow, like a slippery slope, or can it be like a crashing wave?
Can be either. Spiritual desolations vary both in intensity and duration. So it may be just a little like in a warm room in winter with a fire burning, and a person enjoys the warmth of it, and someone opens the window and just cracks it for a second, and a little breath of cold air gets in. It can be like that sometimes. It can just be just not very intense, but sort of there. That's where I use that word, a film of grayness. You know, just wait. It doesn't stop us from praying and living our life, but there's that little bit of heaviness there. Or it can be more intense, or it can be very intense. And it can develop gradually, it can develop more rapidly. But this is where be aware, understand, and take action is key, because that's what's going to make the difference as to whether it's prolonged and whether it gets deeper or not.
You've been listening to Spiritual Desolation. Be aware, understand, take action with Father Timothy Gallagher. This particular series is based in part on Chapter 4 of Setting Captives Free, Personal Reflections on Ignatian Discernment of Spirits. You can find this book on Father Gallagher's website at fathertimothygallagher.org. To hear and or to download this episode, along with hundreds of other spiritual formation programs, visit discerninghearts.com. This has been a production of Discerning Hearts in cooperation with the Oblates of the Virgin Mary. We hope that if this has been helpful for you, that you will first pray for our mission. And if you feel us worthy, consider a charitable donation, which is fully tax deductible, to help support our efforts. But most of all, we hope that you will tell a friend about discerninghearts.com and join us next time for Spiritual Desolation. Be aware, understand, take action with Father Timothy Gallagher.